I know as we move into this new facility, it can be a bit unsettling for us. I've had comments from numbers of people who've been in the church for many years, that they've found, gosh, I feel a little bit unsettled moving into this new building. I'm not sure, and some have said, I'm not sure what to put my finger on. I think part of it is just change, isn't it? Change unsettles us to a degree. I think part of it is the fact that I think we grew massively while we were at Dame Alice, our old site, but we didn't perhaps notice that we'd grown. I think it's when you come into this room and you suddenly realise, gosh, we really have grown significantly. This is a much bigger church than perhaps when you joined the church, if you've been around a while. And so there's an unsettling thing, but I want to reassure us, it may be a new building, but it is the same church. We are the same people going after the same things. And so as I re-emphasise some of those things this morning, I want it to, as it were, settle our spirits, that nothing in the sense of our vision, our purpose, our mission together has changed. Yeah, there's things that we need to adjust as the community grows in size, the things that we need to work on, but actually we are the same church. And we like to summarise it in this image, which we've had for a while now, these five purposes. I'm not sure what the plural of purpose is. I think it might be purpi. But these five, some English students can let me know later, but these five purpi, if I can call them that, it's not right, is it? But purposes doesn't sound right either, so it's the English language, it's letting me down. So these five purpi, these are the things that we're going after. These are the things that we believe God has made us to be together. But you know, you can't even start with these. You have to start with Jesus. You have to start at the center with Jesus. And Jesus really expressed these five purposes or purpi in his life. Jesus was the one who led us to the Father. When we talk about our primary purpose to know and worship God, it was Jesus who was the one who came to introduce us to the Father. John 17 has been called the Holy of Holies of the New Testament. You get to hear Jesus' most intimate prayers. And this is one that I'd like just to reflect on for a minute. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. They may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you loved me. I mean, those words are so deep and so profound, you could spend a year just studying that short passage to understand and get the grip of it. But just stepping back from it a moment, what comes across is the intimate connection that Jesus is calling us into with the Father and with him. The very fact that we might know the love of God as he knew the love, that when he was baptized and the Father said to him, my son, this is my son, I'm with him, I'm well pleased. In that moment, it gave a picture of the relationship that God wanted with us. No more mystery, no more confusion about how God feels about or how we can connect to him. The love of the Father shed abroad in our hearts was the mission of Jesus. That was the end game, as it were. Everything else leads up to that, that we are to encounter and to know God and to be with him forever. That is our primary purpose. The question for us is, are you a swamp, are you a desert, or are you a river? Are you a swamp, are you a desert, or are you a river? Because swamps, you see, what swamps do is they just receive and receive and receive, and they have no way to give out. And swamps become swamps and are fruitless in their existence, or relatively so, because they have no outflow, they just have an inflow. But deserts are the opposite. They just give and give and give, and so the land becomes completely arid. There's no inflow. The output is less than the input, and so deserts, again, are fruitless the other way. But you know what? God is calling us to be a people who are rivers, who receive and give and give and receive. It's like a flow that goes through us, that we're continually receiving the love of God and giving it away to everyone around us. Take a look at this photo of the Nile as it comes out, as it reaches its termination. And you see the barren land around, and you see this swathe of the Nile going through it, and the fruitfulness that exists around that river. That river is receiving and giving continually, and yet it provides life to everything around it, everything that touches it. I believe that's an amazing picture of what Jesus wants us to be. Like a river that pours, that receives from the Father and then gives away continually. John Egan was an ordinary school teacher who pursued God passionately, and he wrote a journal which actually was only made famous after his death, and in it he talks about a retreat he had when his spiritual director said this to him: "John, the heart of it is this: define yourself radically as one beloved of God. Let that truth become the most important thing in your life. It defines your worth." And as we start in looking at our purposes, we have to found ourselves on this reality that if we are to be rivers, we need to receive the love of God and give it away. But it starts with receiving. I love this picture of JFK and his son, taken at the height of his power. Some of you may have seen it before. Very famous picture. JFK, at the time, the most powerful man in the world, and yet under his table, his little boy. I hope he changed his socks that morning. And I think it's just a powerful picture of something that got a spiritual reality, that we are called to be sons and daughters of the most powerful being in the universe. There should be great awe and reverence, and yet great intimacy. No one else could sit like that under JFK's desk but his own son. And yet his own son, as he grew up, recognized that his father was just not his daddy, he was also the most powerful man in the world. It's a brilliant picture of what God is calling us to be like. Intimacy and yet awe. To know and worship God. Jesus is the one who brings us to the Father. A couple of things that we're going to do corporately this year to grow as a church in this purpose of knowing and worshiping God. Damien's been working hard to get one of the Bethel worship leaders, a church that we're connected to in the States and that we have a good connection with. A number of us have visited over the years. And they just have an ability in their worship, which I think we can learn from. And Damien's been working hard to get Karen Springer here. In the summer, we've got a lady called Angela Kem, who, when I met her, was the person that most stood out to me last year as someone who has walked with the Father, who knows what it means to walk with God. And I thought, we've got to get her to King's Arms to share something of that truth and that reality with us. This year we're going to have a few half nights of prayer together where we can just worship him, just some extended times to grow. But I would urge you, as we begin this year, think, how am I going to grow in this purpose of knowing and worshiping God? Everything comes from that place. That is the source of our life as a community. The second is that Jesus is the one who equips us to serve. It is Jesus, the great servant. Jesus, the one who laid down his life for his body, his bride. One of the most profound things that happened to me a few years ago was I was in another church. It was in a worship meeting. And I'd noticed as I'd walked in that right behind me was sitting a boy with clearly some illness. It turned out it was cerebral palsy, and he was completely paralyzed. He couldn't even hold his own head up. He had one of those special wheelchairs, you know, with the headrests. And I saw him there, and he was sitting next to an older gentleman who, it turns out later, was his grandfather. Anyway, during the worship, it was just a powerful time of worship, but I noticed, I turned around during the worship, and the chairs were close together, and I noticed that the grandfather had picked up the boy, who must have been 10 or 11, so he was a big lad, and he picked him up and he had him on his lap, and the boy's head was on his shoulder. And as he held him there, I had sat down so I could hear from what he was saying to him, and he was talking to him right the way through the songs as the worship went on. And he was saying this. He said, "God loves you and I love you. You're a real special boy. God loves you, I love you. You're a real special boy." And he just said it over and over and over again. And this kid, all he could do was lay there. He literally couldn't move. All he could do was lay there, and drool was coming down his face. He couldn't even hold his own saliva in his mouth. And yet this grandfather was just pouring in his love. And I was just a mess. I saw PJ afterwards and he said, "Yeah, was it, you have a good meeting?" I was like, "That's really good." I was just a mess. As I realized, it was a picture of the love of God for us. That we don't serve for favor, we serve because we have favor. Before you do anything, God loved you. He calls you really, really special. I say that to my kids now, you're really special. Ethan, our youngest, is a bit precocious with it. But you ask him who he is, and he's like, I'm a special boy. Because I want to feed that into his identity, that he doesn't have to do anything to earn my favour or approval. That everything he does comes because he has favour. And the Lord is calling us to that place. Jesus said this, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and gives up his life as a ransom for many. He gives us everything we need. He provides supernaturally. He provides naturally. He loves to serve those who are serving. Our church budget this year came in. I mean, if you can recollect what we've been through, moved into this building, take on an extra staff. It was a huge, last year was a year of financial risks. And yet in terms of our church budget, we came in £633 over budget. And the budget was £285,000. That is 0.2%. I mean, Royden couldn't have schemed it any better. I mean, just phenomenal. You see, we give faithfully, and I want to thank you all for how you've given sacrificially last year. But it's only God who can take all of that and get it within 0.2% of what you actually need. That is a work of God. The project started the year, I believe it was £50,000 under or thereabouts, not knowing where it would come from. And they too finished the year over budget with more money. Just a little bit more money than they needed. God provided so phenomenally. As we serve, he loves to serve us. One of the stories from our project, they run a thing called Friday Night Meeting where guys who are literally off the streets, many of them, some of them have been settled in accommodation but really need community, real disadvantage of our town, come. And every year, every week they feed them and have a meal together and pray or whatever. Every year they do a Christmas party and give away presents. And this is one story. At Christmas last year, we'd wrap Christmas presents to give out to the guests at F&M. When it came to the time in the evening, we counted the number of people there, and it was far more than the number of presents we had, at least 10 over. We didn't know what to do because everyone was hanging on, waiting for the presents. We waited for some of them to leave, but they wouldn't. Two of us went in the kitchen and prayed over the presents for multiplication. Then we went out and started handing them out. When we'd finished, everyone had a present, and there were actually 4 or 5 left in the sack. It's just phenomenal, isn't it? The God of the universe loves to serve those who serve. As we give out, he gives in. Some of you guys are like, honey, we're going to try that with the kids next year. I don't... Bill Hybels, who leads a church in the States, says this, the desire to be a world changer is planted in the heart of every human being. And that desire comes directly from the heart of God. We are participating in God's plan to transform the world through love. It's the choice we make to serve. But what do you have to offer? You have the gifts and talents you were born with. You have the passions that inspire you, the skills you honed at home or in the marketplace. You have the life experiences that have matured you, the pain that has deepened you, the love of your neighbor that spills from God's heart into yours. Once you decide to invest even a small portion of the blessings God has given you into the lives of others, you'll find the seed of something powerful sown in your own soul. You have something to offer. That's our passion as a community, that everyone feels equipped to serve. That everyone realizes that they have a part to play. No matter how big the church gets, it isn't just somebody else's job, but that God is calling each of us to step up. One of the things we're going to do probably around September is kind of rationalize all of our training. At the minute, we do training evenings and they're all over the place. We're actually going to bring them all onto the plan at the moment, so bring them all onto a Wednesday night. And so Wednesday night would be training. We'd hope that people could come in and have coffee together and then break off into different rooms and get trained in different areas. And then, you know, just have a chance to connect together, but also to be trained together and just to create a sense of community around it. Because we want to equip the church, equip all of us to play the part that God has called us to. The third thing is that Jesus enables us to grow. Spiritual growth is our third purpose. That's what we exist for as a community. John 8 verse 12 says this, "Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life." Jesus is not promising just a makeover. This is a total transformation from light, from darkness to light. A total transformation in who we are. One of the stories from one of our conferences, a guy wrote in and he said this, "I was a blubbering mess when one of your team hugged me last Friday morning." If you stick around here, you'll get to see this. "And as I was able to repent of being a controlling parent to my two beautiful children, the team member led me through a prayer and I felt the weight of it all lift off. Since then, I've been calm, I've been collected with the children, and I've noticed at those previous trigger points, the Holy Spirit has given me self-control and overriding love to deal with those intense family moments. I'm so grateful for the tender heart of your team and their willingness just to hug me when I needed it." See, a life that was changed, but not just a life, a whole family that will be impacted as a father learns to love rather than harshness and anger. His wife's life will be changed. His children's lives will be changed. But you know, before the hug, there was someone who parked his car with him. There was someone who welcomed him at the door. There was someone who gave him a coffee. There was someone who put the chair out. There was someone who got there early and set the sound up. There was someone who practiced as a band. There was someone who spoke, etc., etc., etc. It all was a prelude to the hug. God used it all. The glory, as it were, went to the hug at the end. But everything else set the hug up. And it's recognizing that it's as we serve one another, that's how we grow. It's in those moments of service that we grow and are changed. I bet that team member was changed as much as the person that he was hugging. It's the call of God on us to serve and to grow together. And fourthly, very quickly, Jesus inspires us for mission. Our fourth goal is that we're on a mission together. We call it world and local mission. It's not just here, but it's also out in the world. Jesus was the greatest missionary. This last year, we had our highest ever attendance on Alpha, which was phenomenal. We had 32 people make first-time commitments to Christ and another 10 who made recommitments, so they'd perhaps given their lives to Christ earlier in their life, but had walked away from him. So 42 people in all last year made my commitments. And I'm just believing God that that'll be the tip of the iceberg compared to what we see. We actually, this year, had for the first time, had 6 people give their lives to Jesus out on the streets. One guy was talking to a friend in a coffee shop, and at the end of the conversation, his friend decided that he would give his life to Jesus there and then in the coffee shop. That's my kind of salvation right there. It's got to involve good coffee. It's not that it's not valid if it doesn't have good coffee. We saw people taking steps into church, like a lady called Ava, who went from a work contact to becoming a friend, to a church invite, to Alpha, to the point where she said to Steve as she finished the Alpha course, "My life has changed now that I know God." We're on this mission together. We've sent teams to South Africa, to Latvia, to Winchester, to Lowestoft. Oh no, they're not all glorious. One pastor wrote to me, he said in his 30 years of ministry, he has never seen so much life change in one weekend as he saw when our team visited his church. It's that river thing. It's receiving from God and giving away whatever he has given to us. One of the things we're going to do this year, we've talked about it for a few years, but we're actually going to do it this year, is give every small group a £50 gift. And the gift is to be used on mission. And so we're going to do it around Easter, and so you've got a little while to scheme and plan as a group as to how you can most effectively leave that. Some, you might want to take up another offering and add to it. You might just want to use that £50, but it's to be used as a community to bless this town of Bedford and this area that we live in. To take that seed, as it were, and use it for mission. Use it to engage the community around with the love of God that we have. Going to see Toy Story 4 doesn't count, okay? It's got to be something that's directly used on mission. So I would encourage you to begin thinking about that. We can play it safe on this mission, or we can engage with the mission that God has called us to. That's the choice that each one of us has. One of our TSM teams, our school that we run for students, they were outside the hospital, and our team goes outside the hospital. They don't pray in the hospital, but as people come out and arrive, they pray for them. And they had a team there, and there was a girl there. She was a dance student, actually, and she was brought in a wheelchair because she'd injured her hip, I think it was, in a dance accident. And she had an audition for Britain's Got Talent in 2 weeks' time. And so the team prayed for her. They actually prayed for her four times. And by the end of it, she was completely pain-free, walking around outside the hospital, saying, "Mom, I can't believe this. It really is better. It really is better. Thank you, Lord." She was saying by the end of it, "I must come back to church. I must come back to church." She'd obviously been to church before. It proves, obviously, that God likes Britain's Got Talent, I think. We had another couple who were out in the town centre, and they bumped into a couple, a girl and a guy. The girl had a bad ankle, and so they prayed for her, and her ankle was healed. She was pain-free, I think, by the time they finished. And Steve asked the guy what he thought about it, and he was really, really sceptical. So Steve said, "Well, can I pray for you at least?" So he prayed for the guy and just began to prophesy over him and just began to say the things that he felt God wanted to say. And the guy stopped him and said, "How did you know that, and what else do you know?" You see, there's something as we engage with this mission that it becomes a great adventure. That God doesn't leave us on our own, but he enables and empowers us to do what only he can do through us. And lastly, Jesus is drawing us into God's family. Jesus calls the church his body. That's the type of interdependency that we're called to have, that we're to heal one another and cry with one another. We're to hug one another, we're to support one another, we're to challenge one another, we're to be like a body, an interdependent body. Not every one of us will have every gift. We'll all have different gifts which must work together to be the body of Jesus. And God, in his grace, is growing this body. PJ was sitting at the back a few weeks ago, and he said he counted 38 people around him that he didn't know. We've got 27 small groups running. Our aim is to grow those groups. If you're not connected to one of them, I would urge you, get yourself into a small group as fast as you can. You can sign up even today, because it's critical. One of the things that we're going to do this year is push this whole idea of clusters, actually clusters of small groups gathering together. I think it's actually critical that as the church grows to a certain size, that there's not just a small group of 10 or so. But actually, if you're just in a group of 10 and you come on a Sunday and there's like 200-300 people, you can feel a bit lost even though you're part of a small group. And so we're wanting to cluster the groups together just every term or so. Get the groups into groups of small groups of 3 or 4 that meet together. So you've got 30 or 40 people, other people that you also know. I think it's really important that we build these kind of mid-sized communities as well as the small community and the big one. And we're going to be really pushing that. In fact, there's a cluster week, not this week, but the week after. So if you're part of a small group and you don't know where your cluster is, you can talk to your small group leader and find out what's going on there. And if they don't know, they'll talk to their coach and find out what's going on there, because it's coming up soon. So get organized with that. If you're not part of a small group, it might be that cluster week is the first week you go, and you might want to go along to one of those. Again, you can talk to the guys at the back. It's critical, I believe, we get that running this year, and that's one of our aims. So how do we buy in? I'll just close with this. We don't define membership by a list of names, because it will be out of date the moment we wrote it. We define membership by three things, the three S's. It's by serving, it's by supporting financially, and it's by being part of a small group. And I would urge you, if you feel part of the mission and part, you're caught up with the purpose that we have, to do those three things. And you can pray for us as well. That can be your fourth. There's a scripture that Jesus said this in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. As you give your life to living by this purpose, we've all got a choice. Are you going to be a swamp that just receives and receives and receives, never gives away? Are you going to be a desert that gets so burnt out giving out, you've forgotten that you also need to be connected to others and connected to God, that you might receive from Him? Or are you going to choose to be a river? What sort of life do you want to live? I believe the call of God is on each of us to decide. Don't be a swamp that just receives and never gives. Don't be a desert that just never receives and just continually gives until there's nothing left. Be a river, because rivers last. Communities get developed around rivers. Life comes through rivers. Make that choice. I'd urge you today.